everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm excited to finally welcome Kyle Anima as my guest. Now, Kyle is one of our elders here at Catalyst. He's also the church's business and administration director. He's an MC for Sunday morning worship services. Kyle is married to Mimo, who was just on Catalyst Stories a couple episodes ago. And they've been married for 24 years, and together they have two boys, Eli and Ezra. And with that, Kyle, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Man, it's funny to be on this side of it. I've heard that intro for so many people, and now I'm like, hey, that's me he's talking about.
Yeah, so you asked me this, so I'll ask you, what's it like being on that side?
Yeah, it's different. I'm actually sitting in Brett's seat. Brett usually sits here, so yeah, this is a little different feel. I like it, and your voice is very... welcoming. So yeah, it's good to hear you in my headphones.
Well, thank you. And as is yours as well.
Thanks.
And so how does it feel to be the last of the regulars from Engage to Flourish podcast to finally be on Catalyst Stories?
Ouch. You had to throw that in there, huh?
You can say better late than never.
Well, or save the best for last.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know. Or to make it more spiritual, the last shall be first, right?
Well, I am also the oldest on the regulars of the Engage to Flourish, so maybe it's that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you did say that on Sunday, that you're one of the older ones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, if for our listeners that haven't had an opportunity to listen to Kyle's message from this past Sunday, please listen to it on YouTube or the Catalyst website. Kyle, you shared from Ephesians 4 about Paul's encouragement to the people to grow in unity and spiritual maturity, and I just felt your examples you used in your message, without giving too much away, were very applicable and inspirational. And I wanted to mention that after your message, Sang, one of our dear sisters in the Lord, came up to me afterwards, and she was inspired by your message and your call to action. And now Sang, who has been a testimony to so many other people here at Catalyst, wants to share her journey on Catalyst Stories.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
Kudos to you.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was
wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I was her mini church leader for a number of years too. And so I got to know her and just, we've had a journey in different areas. So she came and shared that with me, and I was really proud of her for taking that step. And I really feel like her journey is going to be a blessing to other people to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And on a lighter note, I thought your words, what you gonna do about it, it took some courage on your part, not only calling people to action, but especially using Big Todd Taban as an example, right?
You know, I thought about taking him up on stage, and then I thought, I don't know, Todd's a little bit of a wild card too. I'm not sure what he might do on that, because I didn't tell him I was going to use him as a prop. And so I'm like, okay, Todd could go a couple of different directions with this. What am I going to do?
Well, I couldn't help but think, so he is on Marcy's worship team.
Yeah.
And moving forward, you're still an MC.
Yeah.
And so one of these days when you're MCing and he's on Marcy's worship team, he could grab you from behind.
He could.
And he could say, what you going to do about it, right?
Yeah, Todd's a lot of fun. And just for full disclosure, I am a third born child, and third born children like to have a lot of fun and goof around. So I have that side of me. It needs to come out a little bit more in my messages. So I'm like, hey, I got to be who I am up there. But then in some ways I act like a firstborn. As my wife said, you act like a firstborn a lot of times, but then I see you and you're like a third born. So I'm like, I'm a cross of both. So that's just part. I like to have fun. I like to goof around with people.
Yeah. So I'm curious, yesterday you had stepped away from the music stand, which sometimes you use as kind of like as your security blanket.
For sure.
And you said that's not you. So was the idea of kind of getting away from that, is that more of this connected to that you being the third born just kind of the fun side of you?
I think so. Yeah. I think that would limit that part coming out, but I think it also just excuse me, inhibited just the natural teaching side as well, because I think just standing behind there, I would tend to want to read more.
Okay.
And so then if I get in that mode, it can just be like giving a lecture, and it's more than that. And so I needed to break free of that to make myself separate it. And there's certain parts I think where certain things need to be read very carefully. And so that part, so it's okay to have that element, but I just pretty much stuck with that that side of it. And I needed to kind of just have it more of a blend. So,
Yeah. Well, it was very effective. That was awesome. That's great. The Lord is showing you these things. Okay. So I want to talk about your wife, Mimo. And
I think I might know where this is going.
You're laughing already. So for our listeners, Kyle's wife Mimo's podcast was last month, which was episode 29, Dancing with the Father. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, for our listeners, please listen to it. Mm-hmm. It was really inspired to not only hear about her journey, but I felt like, we learned about geography too.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
in all, right? And all the places that she's lived and been to. So she shared on the podcast that she was a people pleaser, wasn't setting healthy boundaries maybe for herself and saying yes to everything. And then I felt she gave you a tremendous compliment by saying that you weren't anything like that in that arena.
Yeah.
And then after that Sunday morning, you might have taken it to say that she was nice and you weren't.
Right, right.
So nonetheless, I thought that I'd give you a chance to respond and defend yourself.
Yes, I need that. I need that chance. I need to take the stand here. No, it was funny because it was in light of the context. Yeah, no, it was a compliment because I wasn't to the extreme that she was going to. But she used words like, yeah, I like to help people. I like to do this. But it was taken to the extreme, but it made it sound like I like to help people. Da, da, da. And then Kyle's the complete opposite. I'm like, wait a second. I like to help people. It's like, what is this? So no, there was, and I should go listen to it again. It was maybe two of the four or five descriptors that she used. You know, the other ones were like, it was obvious that it was a good thing. But there was two of them that sounded kind of like, oh, I like to help people. And there was something else. And Kyle's the complete opposite. I'm wait a second. That doesn't sound right. And
Okay. Okay. So we've got that disclaimer out there. So,
I do like to help people. I am introverted. She's like mega. Well, she used to be mega and extroverted. We've kind of balanced each other out.
Yeah.
She's a lot less than she used to be. She has better boundaries and stuff too. But it doesn't mean that I can't go out and interact with people and I don't like being around people.
No, I thought that was a great observation that you balance each other out because it almost felt like she wanted to be more like you in the sense of you know, being the outgoing type and wanting to be around people all the time. It's easier to say yes to things, and so she wants to kind of temper that a little bit. So I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, for her being a people pleaser, she needed somebody to be a support or be I need you to help me set a boundary.
Right.
Like she just had trouble doing it on her own, especially early on.
And for you to say it's okay to say no to things. I mean, to that supportive, you know, on that end.
Yeah. I mean, and full disclosure, I mean, I get the opposite from her. Sometimes it's easy for me to set boundaries and be like, no, I don't, I can just be more at home, homebody, and it's easy. Where she'll push me to like, hey, I think let's get out, let's do this, do that. And it's good balance.
Yeah. That's so awesome. And so I thought it was interesting that Mimo had shared that she picked the college that she wanted to go to, APU, through a magazine.
Yeah, I know.
And then, of course, you know, you guys met there. And so I wanted to ask you, how was it that you came to select APU as your choice of college?
I knew I wasn't sure what I was going to do after high school, but I was responsible for pretty much my education, for the cost of it. And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I went to Cerritos Community College for a couple of years.
Okay. Yeah.
One of my best friends went to APU, so I would go out there and visit him some weekends. And so I got to know some of his friends too, and I felt like it was a good fit.
Yeah.
I liked the Christian education part of it too.
Yeah.
So I think that was, So I mean, it kind of naturally just evolved into I think I want to go there.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Did you ever go back and thank your friend? I mean, you know, hey, I might not have met my wife if.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was the best man at my wedding. Yeah. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, but, another lighthearted question before we jump into your testimonies. First impressions when you met Mimo for the first time.
Okay, so you'll get a kick out of this. The very first time I remember meeting her is at a Dodger game.
No kidding. No,
yeah. Really? So it was after school ended. I was one of my monikers in that time was like the good idea guy. I would come up with ideas and activities to go do. Yeah. It's more just like I would put things together and other people wouldn't. So
okay.
I put this Dodger game together. Like, hey, let's go to a Dodger game.
These are for students at APU?
Yeah, just for our friend group. So okay. This is after school is over.
Yeah.
But Mimo actually was ended up spending the night with that friend for a couple nights because she just got back from a choir tour with school. And then she was on her way to go back to Washington. Yeah. And so our mutual friend said, hey, I have somebody else staying with us. Can we get an extra ticket? And I said, yeah, we're buying them there at the box office. So sitting in the bleachers in the outfield. But so I remember one time like half the group went to get food or the bathroom at one time, and like two of us were sitting there next to each other, and we just started talking. And yeah, it's just easy person to talk. You know Mimo, right? She's easy person to talk to. Yeah. And so we just had some conversations, and then I didn't see her again until the fall the next year.
Yeah.
And not like right away, but that was the first time we met at a Dodger game in the left field pavilion.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That I did not know that story. So there's more to the Dodgers as a fandom.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Our family has a connection with it.
There is. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So you and Mimo have been recently married, and I think this is back in, you said, 2003 or 2004. You're looking for a church. You're driving down to Alamo Boulevard. I wonder if you can tell that story.
Yeah. So we had been going to a church, a large church in Fullerton at a young marrieds group with like 50 people in it or 40. 50. I mean, it was like that big. It's a multi-thousand.
Oh my God, that's like a church.
I know. But then we had that, and then we went up to Washington for a year where she got her master's. And when we came back, we just knew that we weren't supposed to go back there. And so it was like, okay, we got to find a different church. And we were living in Bellflower, or no, Cypress at the time, I think. But, and so we were just trying different churches. This is, you know, back in the day, I actually opened the yellow pages in the phone book. We were starting to look at like types of churches, and you know, she grew up That's going to funny. A Presbyterian. So we looked at some Presbyterian church. We looked at this and that. Yeah. Well, one week we went to I think it's a Nazarene church, right?
Yeah.
It's down the street. We went to the Nazarene church down the street from Cerritos Baptist, and we were driving back to the 605, and we drove by Cerritos, and I don't know why, but we looked over and we're like, hey, we should maybe try that church next week. Okay. So we're like, okay. And so we tried it, and right away, we're like, oh, this church feels good. Like, it just had a warm, welcoming feeling, and that was it. I don't think we even tried any other churches after that.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
so it was a total drive-by.
Yeah. I just wonder if times you look back on that and see, you know, if you ever reflect on that of, you know, gosh, what would happen if we hadn't, you know, noticed church.
And yeah. Well, I mean, that so many things in life you could look back and things would be totally different. But it was it's not just a coincidence. There's something that drew us to even look over there while we were driving by. So right. I mean, it was the Lord was leading us somehow.
Right. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. I mean, I think of when our older son Brandon, we were looking for apartments for him, and was the same thing where Yenny at the last minute happened to glance over to the right and saw these apartments, and that's where he ended up living for a year. But you know, I just think, gosh, that glance. I mean, in a split second, you know, you could have just drove right by it.
No, like sometimes those little unctions of the Spirit, and sometimes they're very noticeable, and sometimes I think we don't even realize that He's like directing and doing little things just because it's so subtle.
Yeah.
Drops a little thought in, or just a little thing.
And I think, gosh, you know, if we could just have that awareness, I mean, just be, you know, aware of what, like you said, what the Spirit is doing in the moment, maybe we wouldn't miss so many things.
Yeah. Huh?
So 2 years later, at CBC, there was an announcement, and I wonder if you can talk about that and where that led, you and Mimo.
Yeah. So that's when they announced that, Pastor Barry would be starting a new church, a church plant, which became Catalyst. And they, I actually got in trouble at one point because I think I used the word church split. And then they were like, no, hey, somebody actually came and told me, okay, don't use that word. I'm like, okay. I didn't mean it in a bad way, but I guess it could have a very bad connotation, right? So I was like, I got scolded. I'm like, oh man.
Not a bad thing here.
So there was two churches. One became two. Some people might call it a split, but this church plant, and we were, you know, encouraged to just seek the Lord and see, like, are we supposed to stay at Cerritos or go to the church plant? And I don't know. I had a strong sense that I was supposed to go to the plant. And I don't know. It was part of it. There was something with Pastor Barry, but it was something about starting something new and being part of something from the beginning and that I was supposed to be a part of. But Mimo actually felt a stronger connection with Pastor Gary and I think his wife Al too. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, I think I'd like to stay. So neither of us were like really strong about it, but we both kind of had opposite feelings.
Yeah. So tell me again how you kind of came together on what you guys would do.
I just told her what we were going to do, John. Come on.
Okay, now we're going to have Mimo back on the podcast to defend that statement.
We're going to keep this going. We're going to volley it back and forth.
Yeah. And I think the other thing you had said was that Mimo likes change, but you're actually the one that had a harder time with change. So it's interesting that the roles were reversed case.
And I don't know what... I think the sense got stronger in me, and I don't know that it got weaker in her, but it's just, I think my sense that I think we're supposed to go. And I think it maybe became more even for her. Like both options seemed really good. So, I think a lot of our small group, we were in Ed Gannigan's small group at the time pretty much almost the whole small group was going to be going to the church plant.
Okay.
So I think there were some of those kind of things that kind of just started evolving too. Maybe that group is where we're supposed to go. I'm going to throw my wife under the bus here a little bit because maybe she's going to have to come back on. But there was an information meeting where we could ask questions of Pastor Barry. And she actually asked Pastor Barry, what's your beliefs on women preaching? She brought that into the thing. Okay. I'm like, what are you doing right now? Like, this is just more of like, what's the whole, you know, what's the vision and this and that? And like, you're going there? And he answered it so skillfully too. And I think she just,
You remember how he answered it?
off the top of my head, no. I have to ask Mimo's reflection on it. But it was good. I think she wanted to know how open he was to certain things, right? Yeah. But I think he also had certain boundaries. So I think he did it well where like, I'm open in certain things, but I also have certain boundaries. And I think she respected that too.
And you know, fast forward all these years later, I mean, Dale has spoken Sunday morning. Yeah. Gosh, how many times?
I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was speaker or pastor. I don't know how she framed the word question, but it was something more like, more divisive. I'm like, man, you're really putting him on the spot here.
Yeah, well, obviously it worked, so... Yeah.
Sorry, I'm gonna make this into like a 2-hour episode if I keep sidetracking you.
Yeah. I kind of wish Mimo was here in some ways, but you know that'll have to be another episode.
There you go.
And then we can finish the other hour with you at that point, right? So, you're at Catalyst, and again, forgive me if I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, that's fine.
Really forward, but you know this move really laid the foundation for you guys for your lives moving forward in terms of, you know, your spiritual growth and your church involvement and your, you know, your future family too.
Yeah.
And so fast forwarding to, I think you said June of 2009, you're at a small group leaders development meeting and God asked you something. And I wondered if you can talk about
that. You know, this right here was the really pivotal moment of my journey up until this, like the first couple years of Catalyst, a lot of growth still, but this really shifted things. So we were at this meeting and we had, you know, a lot of these we would have like a teaching type of thing, like trying to stretch us and grow us. And then we would close in worship time where we could practice engaging in worship in different ways too. So we were sitting there. This was at one of the houses we used to rent. And I remember sitting in there, and it was the song Breathe. And I don't know who sings it usually. Is that Michael W. Smith or? I don't know.
One of them.
Or maybe that's who I'm thinking of. But it's the song, I've sung it a number of times. So I'm singing it from memory, and it gets to the, I think it's a chorus or bridge, and it says, I'm desperate for you, I'm lost without you.
Yes.
And that's me, the singer, singing that to God. I'm desperate for you, God, I'm lost without you. And I think we had gone through it, like, this is like the second time. And so I sing it again, and then this is really the first time I remember hearing God's voice distinctly, like, wow, that was for sure his voice. In my mind, you know, not audible, but he just says to me, how desperate are you for me? And it was conviction. It wasn't guilt or shame that came with it.
Not in a condemning way.
No, but it was like piercing. And I knew I wanted to answer. I knew the way I wanted to answer was like, I'm desperate for you. I'll do anything for you. Kind of like Peter would say, right? Like, I'll do anything,
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah.
But I knew if I said that, he would know that that's a lie, or that there wasn't the depth there that I wanted to say, right? And so I just kind of stood there, sat there shocked, and I stopped singing, and I'm just, I don't know how to answer that.
Right.
I know I the way I want to, but I'm almost ashamed. I personally almost felt ashamed, but it wasn't from the Lord. It was just like my own, like, condemnation for myself.
Right.
But he didn't put that on me. And then, yeah, I was just
I think you
respecting.
Said you were thinking, like, what just happened?
Yeah,
right. Kind of that reaction.
And I remember sharing it with Pastor Barry later, and he even looked at me at one point and was like, what's going on with Kyle? Because, like, my demeanor, everything had changed. Like, it was really a very introspective moment in my life. And so, you want me to keep going? So,
yeah. I think you said, I mean, it was like you were wrestling.
Wrestling for sure.
With God in that moment, huh?
Yeah, and so, so he asked that question, and it wasn't long after that. So he asked the question, and I knew I didn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
But then he said, will you lay down on the floor and, like, worship me? Like, sprawled out, like spread eagle, just laying on the floor in front of all these other guys there that were in this group. And I was like, no, I can't do that. Like, that's too uncomfortable. I'll look too foolish. I don't know what other people think. And I can't do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so then that's actually after that, that's where I just kind of sat there in that reflective mode for a long time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so maybe I think another whole song went by. And then out of nowhere, this image of Jesus pops in my head that I can, because I had my eyes closed at the time, and just pops in my head, and there's Jesus on the cross. And it just popped in there, and it kind of startled me. And then God said, this is how desperate I was for you.
Wow.
Or not even was. He said, this is how desperate I am for you. And it just floored me.
Wow.
Like I even just right now getting choked up, like, hearing those words from him. Like, the God of the universe is desperate for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so that actually, brought such conviction, and it was like, wow, why can't I even just lay on the floor? If he's that desperate to die for me, why can't I just respond with just like some unabandoned worship? Like, that seems so simple, right? So, like, such a small price, right?
Yeah.
But I left that meeting, it wrapped up, and I just remember, not head down, but just kind of shoulders shrugged a little bit, just like, oh man, that's rough. Like, my faith isn't where I thought it was, you know, that's kind of where I left that meeting.
Yeah. As you're talking about this, I'm thinking, you know, it's almost like God left a challenge for you, but it's not one of those things, you know, like you said, where it was condemning,
it was almost like
an encouragement, an encouraging type of challenge.
Oh, yeah. It was like a call forward.
Right.
Like calling me forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think you said about 4 days went by and then something else happened.
Yeah. So this is I'm pretty sure, I have to look at the date, but I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday night that we had this meeting. And then I actually saw Pastor Barry in the outside when we were leaving, I kind of just gave him a recap of what happened.
Yeah.
And he actually gave me some words of encouragement. He said, wow, like me and I think it was Bob and somebody else had just had a similar thing about surrendering to the Lord, like that God was calling him to surrender certain things. And he's like, I think that's kind of similar to what he's asking for you. I said, okay. And then on Sunday, so like roughly 4 days later, Barry's message was on surrender. And so the message started and it wasn't, you know, a few minutes into it. And I felt like, oh, this is going to be another opportunity to step into that. And so it's the butterfly moment in the stomach, oh boy, what's coming, you know, but it was interesting. I felt that and I felt almost like the apprehension trying to like come over me and like, no, you can't respond, or trying to prevent me from responding the way I wanted to. But it was a sense of determination I had in my head. I was like, I'm not going to miss it this time.
Wow. Wow.
And so the whole message, I'm like, I'm going to respond. As soon as that message is over, I'm going to go respond. Because, yeah, I'm getting choked up again. Because I felt like he wanted me to go up in the front.
Yeah.
And during the second worship set and just like sprawl myself out on the carpet up there.
Yeah.
And just say, I surrender.
Yeah.
And so the whole message, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. As soon as it's over, I'm going to go do it. So Worship team went up there, music started. I went straight up there. If I sit here and wait and wonder, I'm going to talk myself out of it, or the enemy's going to convince me that it's not that big a deal. It's not that important.
Yeah.
So I did.
So you went up there and you did what you felt God calling you to do. What was that like in the moment for you?
You know what? It was because the message was surrender, and that really was the issue the 4 days before.
Yeah.
And the combination with that is the lack of trust. So I didn't really trust God. Like, if I surrender to you, then that means you can do whatever you want with me. And I felt like this is kind of sad or almost ashamed to say this, but part of my view of God is, okay, what's he going to make me do? And it's going to be something I don't want to do. And I'm like, it's going to be bad or painful and I'm going to regret it. And I just don't trust him. Mm-hmm. And so when I went up there, I just said, I surrender. And I had to trust that whatever he had in store for me, I was going to be okay with, but it was actually going to be good for me.
Yeah. And earlier you had used the word unabandoned. And mm-hmm. I'm just hearing that word that, you know, God was asking you, how desperate are you for me? And it was like in the moment you said, you know, I don't care who sees me or what anyone thinks, but I'm gonna show how desperate I am for you. And I find it interesting that you went, God took you from the room with just a few
12 people or 15
to the sanctuary now with maybe a couple hundred people, right?
Right.
So it was a much larger ask.
A bigger ask,
And yet you were prepared in that moment. You know, it's like God had been building.
You know, like I told you, I felt like a second chance, and we dialogued about what that meant.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was a second chance, but it was also that first opportunity. It stirred something in me, and it also brought something out that it wasn't ready in the moment, but in those 4 days, it was something that was building and, I just wasn't ready that first time.
Yeah. So did you feel like you had, after that moment in the sanctuary, that you had this, you had a victory that
you know what? It was a relief and also, I wouldn't say a burden, but there was like what did I just do? Type of feeling.
Oh, okay.
And it was, I know Barry knew my, Pastor Barry knew my journey. He actually came up to me and prayed for me right there. And he gave me some comforting words. He said, we're on this journey together of surrender. And it's because he knew what I was up there for.
Yeah.
Without even asking. And so that was one thing. It's like, hey, it's like what I talked about in my message last week about having unity. When you're doing things together, it has a different depth.
Yes.
So that helped to know that, okay, somebody's walking along with me. Mm. That was really a huge aspect.
Yeah.
But it still was like, okay, what's God going to ask me to do? I said, I'm going to do it because I surrendered, but I was almost like waiting for the hammer to drop.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, I think you said you still had reservations of, do I fully trust God, yeah, or can I fully surrender, right, you know, to this point? And so I wondered if you can talk about that, because you had this one fear that God might ask you to do something.
Yeah, you know, it was, I don't know if it was exact, but it was roughly like 2 weeks of just kind of like this apprehension of what's coming. What's coming? Like, what's he going to do? What's he going to have me do? What's he going to have me step into that I don't want to? And it was after about 2 weeks where it just kind of clicked with me, like, maybe God isn't that, and maybe he's not going to be that way. Maybe it's not that I'm going to make you go do something. He has grace as well. Like, he is letting me have a season to just start learning how to trust him. And then when bigger things come, it won't feel like they're that big. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of clicked in my mind. I had heard those kind of messages before. I understood it,
yeah,
but it was different trying to live it out. So I told you, one of my fears was going to Africa. So honestly, one of the reservations I had was, I can't surrender because he might make me go to Africa.
And lo and behold.
Lo and behold, two summers later. So this was, yeah, this was June of 09. In June or July of 2011, I'm on a team on a trip to Africa. And when it came up earlier that year that a team was being developed, I really felt like the Lord said, you're supposed to go on that trip. And it wasn't a battle. It was like more like, oh, am I supposed to or not? I'm like, yeah, maybe. No, I think I am. And once I said, yeah, I think I'm supposed to go, it was like, hey, I'm supposed to go on that trip and I'm going to go.
Wow.
It wasn't like, wow, oh man, I have to go on this trip. It was a total shift of
perspective. It is a total shift. I mean, you went from so much apprehension to at least being open with the possibility, I'm hearing at
right
in that moment.
Yeah, and that was over that next, especially that next year. It was that there was still ups and downs. There was trials. Wow. There was this. There was that. But he really had to teach me that he was trustworthy. Was so my trust. I needed to learn that the Lord was trustworthy. That he had my best interest in mind. It didn't mean that everything was going to be good or easy. But when he asked me to do something, it was going to be for either a good purpose or would have some kind of good outcome.
Yeah. So did you feel like building that trust and coming to that full surrender that it was a gradual thing? Or did you just wake up and then you?
It was gradual. I mean, even looking back, it's still ongoing. I mean, there's still things that I have like my own reservations or even things that I fall back into. It's like old patterns. And it's like, why am I holding on to this again? Or why am I acting this way again? Yeah. Or there's new hurdles. Like, and looking, like I mentioned in my message, that looking back through my journal, it looks so immature now looking back there. But where I'm at now, there's certain things I'm being challenged with that, oh man, these things seem like they're so big now. But if I, in 10 years, I'd read back of how I'm processing it now, it's going to be like, oh man, that was so immature, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's all these new levels that the Lord brings us into. And
now, I'm just curious, when you finally did go to Africa, as you look back, do you feel kind of the same way that as you look back, it really wasn't that big of a I don't want to use the word burden, but it wasn't all the reservations and the apprehensions you had.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was inconvenience type things. It was the long travel, the food, the this, the that, you know, like how, what's it going to be? And there's just the unknowns, and the enemy used that to be like, make him into big deals.
So Kyle, how did this trip to Africa, how did that either grow your faith or as a Christian take you to a different level?
Yeah, you know, I think there were certain things on the trip that were powerful experiences, and you know, the team building, the memories, there were some just awesome things that we got to do. But I think in general, it was really that culmination of developing trust and that full circle of surrendering and to surrender to something that maybe I feared, where it became actually something that, no, I if that's what God wants me to do, then I trust that it'll be for either my benefit or his glory or a combination. Yeah. You know, it wasn't something to be fearful or dread.
Yeah. And as you were sharing about that culmination for you, mm-hmm. I thought of Psalm 9:10 in the English mm-hmm. Standard Bible that said, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And I also was reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when you talked about surrender, because, you know, Jesus went through that, you know, as a human, went through that same thing where, mm-hmm. you know, he knew he was going to carry the weight of sin and death on his shoulder, that he would be separated from the Father, and began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he says in Matthew 26:42, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, mm-hmm. may your will be done." Mm-hmm. And I just wondered what you think about that. You know, sometimes I think in that moment when it's hard to surrender, almost to say as Jesus did, you know, "Father, may your will be done and not, you know, yeah. my agenda or what I hate or what I like."
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if other listeners have this, but I can be stubborn, I can be hard-headed, and I want my way. And, you know, I see that in my kids sometimes too. Like, it's kind of natural in some instances. We want to have our own outcomes. Yeah. But really, it's Jesus' example, knowing what he was going to face and say, "I don't want to do this, but not what I want, what you want." And yeah. So I think that's, for me, that's what I got to experience that on some level. And I got to learn the kind of being on the other side of it and be like, "Oh, that's what trusting in, you know, God's will for my life."
Yeah. Yeah. And Kyle, I wondered if you can lift up a prayer for those that are listening and maybe sensing or hearing God challenging them to take a step of faith. And it could be, like you had shared on Sunday, reaching out to someone or going through prayer ministry teams, maybe something that will stretch their aquarium mm-hmm. past their small tank. But maybe there's a reservation that, you know, they're holding on too tightly. And I wondered if you can lift up a prayer for our listeners. Yeah,
I'd be honored to. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Father, I just pray a special anointing and awareness of your full character. Your full character is something that we can trust in, that you're good, you're loving, you're generous, you're gracious, all these different things in its full completeness. Mm. And even in some ways that they're able to blend almost opposite characteristics. You're just and you're loving, you're holy and you're gracious, all these things together. And as we get to experience that more, it's even easier for us to trust you. And even when it doesn't, kind of sometimes even doesn't make sense. But I also want to pray that people would be aware that the enemy's job is to keep us from trusting in you. Mm. And so that when those moments come that we have doubt or fear, anxiety towards what you're calling us to do, that's trying to prevent us from stepping into who you've made us to be and what you have in store for us. So I just pray courage and confidence and just an enlarging of trust in who you are. Mm-hmm. And just pray this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you so much, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we fast forward to March of 2019, you have an opportunity to teach a class at Catalyst.
So yeah, so share about that. 2018, we sold our family business that we had, and it was a tough couple of years, but I then end up coming on staff part-time. And part of that is I had done some speaking over the previous years, maybe once a year here and there, but then it was, I think it's Pastor Barry and Pastor Sam both said, "Oh, we'd like you to speak a little bit more and try to develop that." So we were doing a series on finance and just money. And so we had that laid out, and I was to do one of the messages. I don't recall I don't remember what part it was on. But the message prep was going good. I mean, it was kind of my wheelhouse. I was a business major. I understand the concepts. And so I'm like, how to teach it, how to relay it. But it was interesting that the week leading up, as it was getting closer, there was definitely a level of fear, of doubt, anxiety that were coming over me. And some of the voices were, who are you to tell people how to use their money? People aren't going to want to listen to that. People aren't going to, you know, just all these like negative things of, of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I was pushing it away, and I felt like I had it under control for the most part.
Yeah.
But I think I remember even the Saturday night, it was like the night before, like it felt pretty strong, and it was, I think I remember in my mind, like, no, when I wake up tomorrow, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I woke up and it was kind of building, and I said, no, I'm just going to get to church early. If I get there and I'm around other, you know, church members and Pastor Barry's there and just different things, I'm going to feel better. I'll feel confident. And it didn't go that way. Mm-hmm. So it just kept building and building worse and worse. And, you know, we have like an intercessory time before the message or before the service starts. And I was actually, I wanted to go up to Pastor Barry and say, I can't do this. Can somebody else do this? I can't. And like, I was at that level. Wow. Like I wanted to just back out last minute.
Yeah.
And we went to go to the prayer time into the music room off to the side of the stage. And I really, I had a moment with the Lord. I said, I need your help right now. And I know my love language is words of affirmation. And I felt like in that moment, I needed a word of affirmation from the Lord that I was bringing the message that he wanted me to bring. Mm-hmm. And I had he had my back, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so we went into that prayer time, and I put God on the spot. I said, God, I want to hear somebody in that prayer time say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's very specific, right? I'm like, I need you to tell me that's how you feel about this message that I'm going to bring. And so we were in the prayer time. I think a couple of people prayed, and then Chie prayed, and she was just new to that kind of format and doing the discernment time and stuff. Yeah. And she goes, I don't know, this is kind of weird, but I get Matthew, I think it's 20, I had it written down here somewhere. 25:23. It's actually in 25:23 and 25:21, I believe. Uh-huh. Yeah. And she goes, it says, and then, well done, good and faithful servant. And I just went, what? Like, even telling you right now, it just brings chills to me. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And that's what I needed to hear. And so then I went out and gave the message. I actually incorporated that into the beginning, the intro of my message, that this may not be comfortable for you to hear, like me talking about money and like God's view of how to use money, but he told me that this is the message I'm supposed to bring. So here it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So you hear those words from Chie.
Yeah.
And instant confidence, instant. Are you feel like all the voices went away at that point?
Well, you know what? It was first, it was emotion. Like I was blown away. Kind of like
overwhelmed
by the Lord. Like really, you just did that for me? like in the moment, like really, like I'm one of however billions of people on the earth, and you heard that prayer and you just did it within like I think less than 10 minutes, right? I cried out to you and you gave me exactly what I asked for. And it was like, wow, like I don't know. I was just amazed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There was still like some of the apprehension of being up on stage, you know, like there was still some, I wouldn't say it was completely gone, but it was, it had shifted it so much that I knew just kind of like that time I went up to the front, you know, during the message, I knew I have to go up there. This one is like, I knew I had to go give this message.
Yeah.
And so it shifted it. It still, it wasn't the easiest message to give, but it was like, I knew he had my back and I was supposed to do it.
Yeah. So how does that event, that encounter, how did that change you moving forward?
You know, it just really brought more of the personal side of God to me, because I'm very analytical. That's my top strength, and so I can be black and white, nuts and bolts, and I just like it's that part. I understand the factual stuff, right? But then just to understand how God still relates so personally to me, and that I matter to him, like that's still, even to this day, it's still sometimes hard to like grasp.
Yeah. And I, you know, another message that I'm hearing in this story is humility, and you know, along with surrender, because this class, as you said, was in your wheelhouse.
Oh, it wasn't a class. This is the message.
Oh, this is the sermon. The message. I mean, this message is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, right.
And so it's something that you know you're pretty confident about sharing about.
Yeah.
You're well versed in this subject, and so I'm wondering if part of the message also is that idea of still relying on the Lord. Even though you're an expert at this, and that still that surrendering it to God,
yeah, just actually relating it to what we're talking about in Ephesians right now with the know it, experience it, live it,
yeah,
I think it really highlights that part. Like I was out of balance. Like I grew up in a Christian home, a Christian education. I had a lot of know it, so I knew a lot about God, and I knew and understood things from that level, but I hadn't experienced a lot of it. And then I lived it out differently. I lived it based on my knowledge, but there was a lack of experience.
Yeah.
So even that, I knew God was personal. I knew he cared about me, but to experience it that way, it brought it to a whole different level. And so then that would also have me live it out in a different way.
I think you might have shared this on at church on Sunday, where the idea of something being your head, as head knowledge, needing to transfer to your heart and really embracing it.
Yeah.
And so where are you on that journey? Do you feel like you have that balance between the two, or how do you maintain that
You know, that was such a huge thing for me in my spiritual growth, is that understanding that it's not healthy to just have one or the other. So that's again where Mimo and I are very different. She's very heart related and I'm very head.
Yeah.
And like I can look back and see that she was unhealthy in a lot of ways because things were too much emotion driven, too much that way. And she lacked the other side. And I was the opposite. And even just seeing her growth recently too, to see that we're both learning how to blend the weaker side of us.
Yeah.
I would say even weaker. It's just the side that's just not as easy to pursue.
Right.
But if we don't do that, then we're not going to live it out in really fullness. And so I think my journey, the Lord, I'm still wired to be my head, right? I'm wired for truth. I'm wired for my head knowledge. I'm wired for analytics and that kind of thing. But I can see times where I ignore the heart side and I kind of fall back into unhealthy ways to see or view things, but I also can recognize it easier. But then I also can see when I blend the two, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have seen it this way before. It comes from a different place. And I think it leads to there being more grace. There's more understanding instead of I'm more wired to black and white.
Yeah.
So it's easy to operate that way. Oh, things are just black and white. But then you come across things that aren't black and white, and then what do you do with it? Like, well, you try to fit it into a black and white and it doesn't. So then you have to either just ignore it and cast it aside, or you have to actually wrestle and be like, oh man, maybe things aren't all black and white. That's the way I lived. Now I have to change the way I live, right?
Yeah, So I'm wondering now, as you, like say, as you prepared for your message on Sunday, do you go in with it with that that awareness that I want to balance between the head knowledge or you know, how do I reach the heart? How do you approach it now?
Yeah, for sure. I know that if I just give the head side, it becomes more of like that lecture feel, and it's good. And there's nothing, it's not bad. Even my analogy on Sunday about auditing a class or taking it for credit, I want people to know auditing's not bad either. It's not, and sometimes in a season, like that's all we have the capacity for, and that's okay. There's some good with it. But we don't want to just audit forever because there's just no depth there.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I want to show that there is depth. And I feel honored that I get to let people inside to see that I'm wrestling with the same things they are. You know, I'm on I'm on a similar journey that just because you become on staff at church doesn't mean everything is rosy and everything is easy. You still have to go through a similar journey.
Yeah. And I couldn't help but think as you were sharing about, you had shared how you and Mimo kind of balance each other out because of, you know, your different strengths.
Yeah.
And that really relates back to what you were talking about yesterday with unity, where I sometimes, you know, think, gosh, that, you know, as I'm preparing, I mean, not preparing, I've never given a message Sunday morning, but
not yet.
Is that the what you going
to
do
about
it?
Yeah, I know. I'm just wanted to catch you off guard a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah. You did. You did a good job of that. But I thought that that's where, you know, as a body of Christ, you know, no matter what church you go to, where we could rely on each other for that balance and you know, to rely on each other to help each other for, you know, we don't have a spouse or someone.
Yeah. Or, you know, like in the epistles too, where it talks about us being different body parts. Certain ones seem more glamorous or seem more important, but if you have too many of those, it gets lopsided and you miss certain things. So it's like, even the ones that don't seem like they're that valuable, they are like, they're so valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of valuable, it's been such a valuable time together.
Like that's an epic transition right there, man.
Terrible one.
Before you wrap that up though, I did want to read through from my journal. So after that experience with Chie, I thought it was cool. One of the privileges of being a dad or just being a parent is being able to share your journey with them so they get to see and be a part of it too. So I got home from church that day, and then Ezra asked how my message went because he wasn't in service.
Oh, okay.
And I said it was difficult, but it went good. And then he responded with, "Thank you, God." Because like he felt like, that was a relief for dad.
Yeah.
But then the next day, I actually was driving him to school, and I got to share what happened. And so I actually told him, like, there's like 3,000 some verses in the Bible, and there's only two that say that. So it was a 1 in 1,500 chance that she would actually say a verse that I was asking God for.
Yeah.
And then Ezra just kept saying, I wrote down here, Ezra just kept saying, "Wow," and "That's cool." And so that's just awesome to see that they get to experience that side of God that I didn't get to experience until much later, that they get to hear a glimpse of that, and then that hopefully helps them on their journey.
Absolutely, 100%. And I got to say, we're so blessed to the way that to be able to see how you speak into your boys. And I just think, I do feel like, gosh, you know, what you're teaching them, laying that foundation, you know, is something they'll always can cherish and look back at. And I think, you know, sometimes you think, gosh, do our kids really hear, or, you know, are they really absorbing the things that we say to them? And I feel like they do. And it might not always come out when we want it to,
right.
But then I find they come out in the most surprising and unexpected moments,
for
right?
Sure,
I mean, someday Ezra will go look back at that and you know, he'll say, "You remember that time, Dad? You know, you spoke Sunday morning," and somehow they're able to remember that, you know, and at the time we least expect it, huh?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, wow, that is so neat. I just want to take the time to pray over your testimonies and for our listeners and thank you.
I totally messed up your awesome transition. You had that all set up and then I totally redirected you. Now you're like, man, I had an awesome transition set up. Sorry, John.
Yeah, no. I wish I could say it was an awesome transition, but you kind of helped put it out of sight, out of mind. So I should thank you for that.
That's too funny.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. It's
so great to be on here. I like to be able to share testimonies. I like hearing people's testimonies because I think that's where it connects. Of the things we get to hear about God, then we get to see them in action. Yes. And then that's it. It encourages all of us to be like, oh, I've never thought of that. Or even people go like, oh yeah, I did have something like that. And they don't even realize yes. the connection, right?
So yes.
yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for doing the show. Cause I think it's so awesome for people to hear these.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, you bet. I mean, I leave here feeling like, you know, if you had a workout and you were doing like five sets of weights and yeah. everything like that, I just so pumped up like that.
Awesome.
So thank you, Kyle.
Yep.
Okay. So, let's pray. I just want to quote 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James Bible, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. And I know, just so I want to lift up a prayer for our listeners and for Kyle. Sometimes the enemy tries to play with our minds, huh? But thank you for showing Kyle a different perspective, and I pray, Lord, that you would do the same for our listeners too, that you would show us all the things that we've, the promises that we've inherited from you, Lord, for being one of your sons and daughters. Mm. And Father God, I want to thank you for your hand on Kyle's life over all these years, from leading both he and Mimo through different steps on their journey, from finding a church and to growing in their faith, and then being able to hear the words from you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God, we're reminded of Philippians 1:6 in the English Standard Bible that says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And thank you, Jesus, for the question that you asked of Kyle, "How desperate are you for me?" And not in a condemning way, but in a longing to connect with Kyle personally. And just for that image of you hanging on the cross and saying, "This is how desperate I was for you." And I just thank you for that image. And Lord, thank you for that. That's how much you love each one of us, Lord. In fact, you said in Romans 5:8, "But you demonstrated your love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so we receive that this morning. We receive the promise of John 3:16 that says, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you spoke to Kyle over all those years, helping Kyle to gradually surrender and trust in you. That you could lead Kyle to going to places like to going to Africa, a place that he dreaded at first, and that you would call him there. And we're reminded of Psalm 9:19 that said, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And finally, thank you that Kyle and all of us can be sure of this, that you who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And now, finally, Lord, may you use these testimonies in Kyle's life to inspire all of us to become all that you've called and created us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, and that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.